Crusade Channel News. News you can trust because the truth can be trusted. From the Crusade Channel News Desk, here's Celeste Youngblood.
Happy Friday, Crusaders. The Crusade News Desk is on the road. Coming to you from the Veritas Radio Network studios in lovely Mandeville, Louisiana, I'm Celeste Youngblood with your news headlines at this hour on this Friday, May 4th, 2018. There has been a breakthrough in peanut allergy testing. In today's Lives of the Saints and Martyrs, the faithful mother of a notorious prodigal son. Another food recall? Yes, indeed. And a South Korean janitor may have gotten very lucky. For decades, doctors have been using the same blood and oral peanut allergy testing methods for children. But now a new breakthrough in peanut allergy testing has yielded a new method, which is safer and more accurate. Reuters reports.
There were a couple of patients that unexpectedly reacted with quite severe reactions, which is what can happen. We really need to find better ways. We need to find better tests to diagnose food allergies.
Dr. Alexandra Santos is describing patients who had bad reactions while testing for food allergies after a first round suggested they were low risk. But a new method for testing peanut allergies, developed by her team from Britain's Medical Research Council, appears to be much more accurate and safer.
And I'm really hoping that it will be useful for other food allergies as well, because it can really help patients.
Here's how. The standard that's been employed for decades typically comes in two phases. First, patients are given a blood test that looks for the antibodies associated with allergies. The problem is that's highly inaccurate. So for about half, a follow-up test is needed, in which patients are given incremental doses of foods while doctors observe their condition. And that can be very stressful. And it's what led to that bad scenario Dr. Santos recalled for us.
That we can measure.
Her new system is way more accurate. Instead of antibodies, it uses so-called mast cells, which play a role in physical symptoms, like skin reactions, or when your airways constrict.
98% of children with a positive test would be allergic. So this is how much more specific it is.
It means that doctors should already know how severe an allergy is before they do the food doses. It's also way faster, days as opposed to weeks or months. Dr. Santos's method is being adapted now for other allergies, like milk and eggs.
Your Founders Trading Post quote of the day comes from St. Augustine. Men go abroad to wonder at the heights of mountains, at the huge waves of the sea, at the long courses of the rivers, at the vast compass of the ocean, at the circular motions of the stars, and they pass by themselves without wondering. Be listening after my 8:30 a.m. newscast for Mike Church to ask for the quote of the day, and be the right caller to win today's Founders Trade and Post prize pack. And remember to shop for today's Trade and Post specials at mikechurch.com/shop. Coming up next after the break in today's Lives of the Saints and Martyrs, we honor Saint Monica. You're listening to Crusade News.
5, 3, 2, 1, go.
Born in 332 in Tagaste, Numidia, which was part of the Roman Empire, Monica was married young to Patricius, a pagan man of unenviable habits and fiery temper, who, although annoyed by her piety, held her in great respect. Three of her children survived infancy, most notably Augustine. However, she was unable to baptize them. Augustine grew up to be a dissolute, lazy character himself who went to study in Carthage when his father died. Monica grieved over her son's waywardness and, following him to Rome and then Milan, prayed for him for 17 more years before his conversion to Christianity. St. Ambrose of Milan told her, quote, "The child of those tears shall never perish." And indeed, he became one of the most illustrious saints of Holy Mother Church. Monica died at Ostia in 387 while traveling with Augustine. She is patroness of difficult marriages, disappointing children, victims of adultery and abuse, and the conversion of relatives. Saint Monica, pray for us. Crusade Channel News Time is 6 minutes past the hour. Because the recent salmonella egg recalls and romaine lettuce E. coli warnings were not enough, UPI is reporting that now 35,000 pounds of ground beef are being recalled by JBS USA, Inc., a North Carolina food processor which supplies meat to Kroger supermarkets. The reason? A consumer contacted the company with a complaint that there were chunks of hard blue plastic found in their meat. No illnesses or injuries have been reported in relation to the potentially contaminated meat. Lastly, a South Korean janitor may have gotten very lucky. UPI reports that $325 million worth of gold bars were found in a trash bin at a South Korean airport and are believed to have been ditched by two men who were transporting them from Hong Kong to Japan, presumably to avoid their being discovered by customs. If the bars go unclaimed and are found not to be tied to criminal activity, the janitor who found the loot may be able to keep it under the country's finders keepers law. Even if the owner comes forward, he will still receive 5 to 20% of the value of the gold, or between $16.2 and $65 million.
And that's the news. Now it's time for the muse. Celestial musings, that is.
In this Celestial Musings, I have always tried to hammer home to my children the importance of family, both immediate and extended. And perhaps I have placed an overemphasis on this value, but if so, it is only because I moved 15 hours away from home in 1999 and have lived away my entire adult life. Some lessons, you know, we learn the hard way. Due to the circumstances that went along with growing our own family over 21 years, we have missed births. Well, not our own. We have missed most of the sacraments for my niece and nephews. We have missed weddings. We have missed funerals. We have missed participating in family joys and in family trials. And we have missed simply sitting in peace with the ones we love, who have loved us from our youth. On this current trip, I have seen one beloved aunt for the first time in 25 years, another beloved family member for the first time in about 18 years, and another for the first time in a decade. I'm going to a First Communion tomorrow and on a family beach trip next week, and my heart is bursting with fullness. And I promise it has nothing to do with sand and surf. I'm actually not a beach type, but I am a family type. Truly, there is nothing like family. God may not see fit to move us back near our loved ones. I have wished and prayed for this since the very year we moved away, but I pray He allows many more trips such as these, because family truly makes the world go round. For more news headlines, follow me at my Twitter handle, at Crusade Newscast. Stay tuned to the Veritas Radio Network for king-sized truth from radio-sized speakers. Coming up next, The Mike Church Show. Celeste Youngblood signing off for the Crusade Channel. Serving you, serving truth.
The Mike Church Show believes that the best way to talk someone into liking our radio show is to lift obscure lines from movies and let them do the hawking.
And I say, hey, Lama, hey, how about a little something, you know, for the effort, you know.
The Mike Church Show, trolling in a sea of apathy for compliments or whatever else you'll give him.
And he says, there won't be any money. But when you die, on your deathbed, you will receive total consciousness.
The Mike Church Show, the Crusade Channel, king-sized truth from radio-sized speakers.
So I got that going, which is nice.
For the last time, I'm pretty sure what's killing the crops is this Brondo stuff.
The Brondo's got what plants crave. It's got electrolytes.
So wait a minute. What you're saying is that you want us to put water on the crops?
Yes.
Water. Like out the toilet?
Well, I mean, it doesn't have to be out of the toilet, but yeah, that's the idea.
But Brondo's got what plants crave.
It's got electrolytes.
Okay, look, the plants aren't growing, so I'm pretty sure that the Brondo's not working. Now, I'm no botanist, but I do know that if you put water on plants, they grow.
Well, I've never seen no plants grow out of no toilet.
Hey, that's good. You sure you ain't the smartest guy in the world?
Yeah.
Okay, look, you want to solve this problem. I want to get my pardon, so why don't we just try it, okay? And not worry about what plants crave.
Brondo's got what plants crave.
Yeah, it's got electrolytes.
What are electrolytes? Do you even know?
It's what they use to make Brondo.
Yeah, but why did they use them to make Brondo?
Because Brondo's got electrolytes. jump in on the Ted Nugent music earlier today. Woo! It's like we got a real radio station going up in here today. None of this playing around in the basement crap anymore. We're all dressed appropriately. Got our major market, big league sounding news person in the other room. You know that the news came to you from Studio B today. I'm in D. She's in B. And it's a free phone Friday. Asking the question of the day.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Well, I'll tell you. You know the drill.
Oh, and remember, Friday is Hawaiian Shirt Day. So, you know, if you want to, go ahead and wear a Hawaiian shirt and jeans.
Your charge with the task of telling us what it is we shall talk about on the program. The telephone number. The secret passcode. 844-527-8723. 844-5-CRUSADE. Email me directly. My email address, same as it ever was, kingdude, K-I-N-G-D-U-D-E, at mikechurch.com. Official website for all things moi is online at mikechurch.com. Find today's pile of prep freshly minted. We have podcasts from this week all up on our site at mikechurch.com, also at crusadechannel.com. We are live in our chat room here today at mikechurch.com. Click Mike Church Show Live Chat. And you can join, well, you know, the polls in Poland. So we're down a man. We're down a man. The poll is in Poland, so hang on. Celeste is here, so you can participate in the live chat room. Go to mikechurch.com, click on Mike Church Show Live Chat at the top of the page, and you'll be chatting away with friends from the show. In about 25 minutes, I will play today's Golden Truth Ticket soundbite of the day, and then I'll give you the password. Where do you hear what the password is today? As a matter of fact, if you're in the Youngblood house, you may not want to stray away from the radio until I give you the password of the day. And then when we play the digital media file for today's Golden Truth Ticket soundbite of the day back later on today, be called the appropriate number caller. Now, yesterday we made a caller number two, so it had to be bam, bam, snap, snap. First two. I think we ought to extend it out and make them get their dialing fingers going in into action here. But we'll we'll noodle on that. We'll tell you about it in 20 minutes or so. We'll play digital media file of the day. Congratulations to yesterday's winner, Paul Clark, Melissa Linscombe, and Mark McGinley. You talk about a memory. I committed all three of those to memory. That's how cool and happy and excited I am about the Golden Truth Ticket Contest. You know, because I think it's pretty cool to give a car away. You know, we're not like coming to your house and taking your car, stealing it. We're giving you one. Just ask Kenneth Snyder, Birch Rapids, Michigan, about how exciting it is to know somebody just dropped off in your driveway $20,000 worth of automobile that cost you a single Golden Truth Ticket. Get your Golden Truth tickets today. Don't put it off. Remember, this is a fundraising effort. The longer you extend our excruciating waiting game, the longer it is excruciating. So buy your tickets today for your chance to win the Kia. Right now, shockingly, if we were to have the contest today, and I'll update you every day on this, you'd have a 1 in 21 chance of winning the car. 1 in 21 chance. That's pretty good odds you're going to walk away with a brand new 2018 Kia Soul. So go to MikeChurch.com or CrusadeChannel.com or on the app, the original Veritas Radio Network app. There is a buy your Golden Truth ticket button there. There is no limit to how many tickets you can buy. The more you buy, obviously, the bigger the investment in the Crusade Channel and the more chances you have to win. So, we are all live here all this morning here during this Friday morning show with Mitch Youngblood in the, as I mentioned, in Studio B over there doing the news. And I was telling her just a moment ago before I came in here to do this for year number 26 in 3 days now, I was telling her that she is not the same woman that showed up at the Pro-Life Women's Conference in Orlando last June when she'd first started the news and was pacing about, nervous, nervous, mortified, horrified, terrified, scared, pale white, shaking. Where do I sit? Where do you want me to put this microphone thingy? Will you give me, will you tuck me in? Now today she waltzed in here. She started banging on the door about 5:30 a.m. Let me in. I got stuff to do up in here. Went in and unpacked her stuff, hooked her own engineer, did her own engineering, got herself all situated. I went in to help. Dude, I don't need you in here. Go drink your coffee. Get out of here. I got this. Me and Maggie got this. We don't need you, Mr. Man, hanging around. And then delivered the news spectacularly without any assistance. And I told Maggie O'Connell, if you were an investor here on the Crusade Channel, this morning was a watershed moment. That's what it sounds like at a real radio station. Real. Like for reals. To go from our tape delayed stuff into the live news, and now into the live Mike Church show. What a thrill. Seriously, what a thrill. Really, seriously. Very excited about the remainder of the day. And she gets to do it again at 8:30 a.m. No pressure or anything. All right, what do we have to talk about here today? Well, Celeste nailed it earlier when she said, well, if it's not about Mueller, and if it's not about the porn star lawsuit, there isn't any news. You can't find any. Trump has sucked all the life out of the news cycle. And it continues to this very moment here. So you've got to dig beneath the surface, which is why long-form discussions about things that we talked about yesterday, for example, are almost becoming a necessity. Even if we didn't, if I hadn't decided to do it, I would be forced into doing it. But there is some stuff happening out there that we could talk about today. I want to go back to yesterday's mention of Father Patrick Peyton. That's with an E. Now, David did him as a zero to hero story. And I saw in the Crusader Room on the Facebook, and then if you'd like admission into the Crusader Room on the Facebook, all you have to do is find it, search for the Crusader Room, and then ask to be admitted in. We'll check your Founders Pass member stats or credentials, and if you're a Founders Pass member in good standing, then we'll admit you into the Crusader Room. And there's always people hanging out in there and posting this and that and the other and making comments and what have you. So I saw someone had found a video, a YouTube video of Father Peyton doing a glorious mystery. In front of a big crowd, because remember, he was the like the rosary preacher. As a matter of fact, the rosary doctor, Dr. Brian Kitchick, will be with us in the second hour of today's broadcast to talk a little bit about what passed this week on May the 1st, which was St. Joseph the Worker Day. Yeah, now, today is Cinco de Mayo. Well, Americans celebrate Cinco de Mayo as Margarita Day. This is true, but Cinco de Mayo is Mexican independence. Now, no one ever asks the question, Mexican?
The 4th today. Tomorrow's the 5th.
Tomorrow's the 5th. Well, we're doing it today because we won't be here. Independence from what? What was Mexico becoming independent from? Well, to summarize it, the Pope and any attachment to the Spanish monarchy or what remained of it, and from Catholicism. Now, this begins Mexico's slide into the quasi-socialist Hades hole that it is today. Anyone that looks at the country of Mexico and looks at it from a geological or geographical or arborarium or flora and fauna point of view must marvel at the abundant resources that are available there. There's no reason for any poverty in Mexico. None. There's no reason for any kid to be going hungry. There's no reason for any adult to be going hungry. There's no reason for famine and pestilence and all the things that we're told that besought the people of Mexico. I mean, this is figuratively speaking, a American continent, Western Hemisphere, Garden of Eden there. I mean, you can watch adventure shows where they go into the mountains of Mexico, where they go waterfall looking, where they go hunting for ginormous rattlesnakes, where you can go visit the tobacco plantations, et cetera, et cetera. There's absolutely no reason for Mexico to be impoverished, and yet it is. Is that a result of the people of Mexico practicing the remnants of their Catholic faith? No, it's not. It's the fact that it's been subdued. You know, Celeste, you had a story about a priest killed in Mexico. I don't remember how recently it is. Priests in Mexico are marked men. The Fraternal Society of St. Peter, the FSSP, has sent, I don't know, half dozen or so priests down to Mexico, to various parishes in Mexico, to go try and reestablish community churches and little communities there. I happen to know one, Father Daniel Heenan, who last I checked was still alive, and our friend, Maggie O'Connell, Father Jeffrey Jambon. You know, Father Jeff went down to Mexico, not as a FSSP, but he went down and stayed there, and I can't remember exactly where it was, but he stayed there long enough to where he became fluent in Spanish. So there's still a fight going on for Mexico. So when you think Cinco de Mayo tomorrow and everybody's dancing around, dancing and eating chicken and getting drunk on margaritas and all that, just remember what it is that they were celebrating, the fact that the Catholics were basically subdued and kicked out of power. And the socialists came in to power. Now, we had an interesting little experience yesterday. And there's a little Mexican restaurant down the street from Studio D that we have lunch at. Probably about once every other week or so, but pretty regular. We're regulars. I mean, the people that work at that place, they know us by face. Some of them know us by name. And it's a little family-run place. Food's always fresh. It's always really good. It's quick. And like I said, we've been going there for like 4 years now. There's a new gentleman who is a waiter there. And we didn't have our regular guy yesterday. We had this gentleman. And it was funny. He's very kind. He's very polite. Was everything okay? Is everything okay? He came to bring us the bill. And I had this is like the third time that this gentleman has waited on it. And I never noticed this before, but he came to bring us the bill yesterday. And he handed me he handed it to me because Mrs. O'Connell wasn't paying for it. So he handed me the bill. with his left hand, forearm up, kind of like slid it towards me. Celeste, guess what he had on his left forearm? A beautiful tattoo of Our Lady of Guadalupe.
I was thinking a rosary, but okay.
Yeah, a beautiful tattoo of Our Lady of Guadalupe. As soon as he held his hand, I went, "Hey, that's Our Lady of Guadalupe." And his eyes just lit up because I guess most people don't recognize it. And he goes, "Oh, yes, yes, yes." And then he came back and he pointed to it. He goes, 25 years. I have this for 25 years. I'm going, "God bless you, brother." Just an example of, now, she gone. She done. Thank you. Just an example of, now, these are the people that we're told to despise and to hate. They came here to take our jobs, right? They came here to undermine American culture and to take our jobs and to run us all out of town and impoverish us and everything. But it's okay. O'Connell, did you get that impression from that man that he came here to disemploy? Now, that's not to say that there aren't those that do. But many of these people are genuine and they are brothers and sisters in baptism. Now, that doesn't negate immigration laws, and I didn't say that it did. So for somebody flies off the handle, what are you, an apologist now? I'm just giving you an example. I would say it's a pretty good bet that that gentleman was of Mexican descent, direct Mexican descent. So anyways, somebody in our chat room says, Cinco de Mayo is a holiday that was made up for beer companies. I tend to concur. Staying on the same theme here, Mike Church Show on the Crusade Channel, King Size Truth from radio size speakers here on a free phone Friday. Well, you have a 1 in 22 chance now of winning the car as a Golden Truth ticket sale just came through. MikeChurch.com for your Golden Truth ticket. That's a beautiful Our Lady of Guadalupe that you put in the chat room. Staying on the same subject, or similar subject, we have this from Crisis Magazine. This is from Father Paracone. I need to try to get Father Paracone on as a guest because I keep reading him and marvel at the his penmanship, his writing skills. Here's Father Paracone's piece today. The Latin liturgy appeals to Catholic youths. And Father Paracone is writing about there's a synod coming up on for teenagers at the Vatican. Now, there's a young man out there that we're trying to get on as a guest. I think that my friend Beverly Stevens, the editor of Regina Magazine, and if you're not reading Regina, please do so today. Go to reginamag.com and the digital edition, which I am, by the way, featured in this month. You can get it free of charge at reginamag.com or on their Facebook page. Beverly was telling me yesterday about this interview and she was going to conduct with this young man who was part of this Ute Synod in Rome next fall, and that this goofy questionnaire had been sent out by the Vatican for all these kids to fill out, and that this young man and his friends had filled it out, and there's a place in there where you can suggest other things that aren't in the questionnaire. Kid's name is Connor McLaughlin. And Connor McLaughlin suggested what young people are really gravitating towards, your holiness. What we're really excited about is in discovering and in celebrating the holy sacrifice of the Mass in its original Latin form. And as I've talked about on this show so many times, I can't count them on my hands now, at every parish that I go to where the TLM is, the traditional Latin Mass, there's youth there. That's the future. Young people love it. They gravitate towards it. And so I threw this out to Connor to see if he would come onto the program, and I'll keep you posted and updated on that. Moving on, I'm going to bounce around a couple topics here. Robert Stacey has this at theimaginativeconservative.com, the commodification of edumacation, emphasis mine. And he starts off with a quote, historically, higher edumacation was something quite different from what it is today. Well, that's because today can't even be laughingly referred to as higher education. It's only higher in the fact that it costs more than preparatory education. It's higher in price. Higher education was something quite different from what it is today. Colleges and universities formed communities whose members were not just commodities and data points, but dignified human beings who benefited richly from their experience together. No kidding. And then he writes about a question for parents and others who care about students. Do you think of your childrens as commodities and data points? Neither do we, but sadly, many colleges and universities increasingly do. A recent controversy at Mount St. Mary's University, a small Catholic school in Maryland, highlights a growing commodification of education. The president, Simon Newman, demoted a senior administrator and fired two faculty members, one of them a tenured professor, because they objected to his plan to weed out less promising freshmen in the first day, few days of school. Under Newman's plan, faculty are expected to report freshman grades to the administration within the first couple weeks of classes, but instead of offering assistance to freshmen who need it, those with poor grades are simply asked to leave the university. Oh, what an awesome sense of solidarity that is! I keep asking this question. What in Hades is going on here? Mrs. O'Connell, now you see, you think that college is job training. And well, her question was, wouldn't they be saving the kid from debt if they kicked them out? I think maybe we should hear the remainder of the point that Stacey is going to make here. One would think, right now here, to your point, Robert Stacey, that may sound rather draconian, that is kicking him out after two tests. We've given you 10 days to prove yourself, young man. We've given you 10 days to prove yourself, young man. You. But the motivation behind the plan is even more sinister. Universities are required to report their enrollments to the federal government, as Mitt Romney would say, to the federal government. By the 12th class day each term, so any student scrubbed before that date would not count against the institution's retention and graduation rates. Why does Wyoming Catholic, ministered by Peter Kwasniewski, have to report anything to Mordor on the Potomac River, and for whose benefit? I'm just giving you an example. The state wants control of everything, folks. They cannot leave anything in the hands of private individuals. Because if they do, there's a chance that we might figure out that we don't need them. I say there's a chance we're going to figure out that we don't need them by They're not participation, participation. When you sit around and go, exactly what is it that these clowns do again? So Newman is not acting in the student's best interest. He's polishing his company's quarterly numbers. Oh, but don't worry. It's a Catholic institution. They'll get it right. One would think a good college would seek to nurture and support its students, help them become better. Isn't that a point of education after all? As John Schwenker, writing in Minding the Campus, observes, Mount St. Mary's was, quote, supposed to be a community, a place where administrators aren't bosses, students aren't customers, and faculty aren't employees. Again, let's go back to this theme that we've been returning to the last 3 days here on the Crusade Channel, and obliquely have been turning to the last 2.5 years about distributism. And as a seminary, too, about distributism and about people becoming proprietors, not numbers, not consumers. If they have to be something, customers, clients, fellow members of a guild, and proprietors. A proprietor society does not report its inner workings to Mordor on the Potomac River. Is this about education? No, it's about distribution of dollars. And that's what it's all about. It's not about edifying the young man or the young woman's soul. It's not about making them a better Christian or a better Catholic today than yesterday. No, it's about making them a better example of what you must or what you can do inside your predetermined destiny, your predetermined destiny inside the new paradigm. A paradigm you did not get a vote in, a paradigm like Hotel California. You can check out if you want, but you can never leave. 844-527-8723 is our telephone number. You know what time it is now? Time for the digital media file, the Golden Truth Ticket soundbite of the day. We're giving away a 2018 Kia Soul automobile on the 1st of June. At a live show, we're going to do it at Bulldog Kia in Athens, Georgia. You're all invited to come, as you are to all of our events. none of them are segregated. But this is a special one because we're going to give the car away on that day. But you need a Golden Truth ticket to get the car. So, when I play this soundbite today, this will be the first time it's played. Don't call. Unless you want to talk to me, then you can't call. But be listening for this digital media file to be played later on today. And when it is, be the appropriate number caller with the secret the password of the day, which I'll give you in just a moment. And a free Golden Truth ticket, that's a $100 value, is yours.
Welcome to my latest experiment. This is a big one, the one I've been waiting for all my life.
Well, it's a DeLorean.
You disintegrated Einstein.
Calm down, Marty. I didn't disintegrate anything. The molecular structure of both Einstein and the car are completely intact. You see, Einstein has just become the world's first time traveler. I sent him into the future.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute, Doc. Are you telling me that you built a time machine out of a DeLorean?
The way I see it, if you're going to build a time machine into a car, why not do it with some style? Besides, the stainless steel construction made the flux dispersal. Look out!
Okay, so that is your digital media file of the day. Be listening later on when it's played back. And be caller number... Nine. Caller number nine. Number nine. Number nine. Caller number nine. And the...
The secret password... of the day.
The password of the day is, are you ready for this? Young blood. Kermit, no pressure or anything, but it ought to be your chance to win a ticket there, buddy. So the secret password of the day is Youngblood. In honor of Mrs. Youngblood's appearance here at Studio D to do your Crusade Channel news live. So you're listening for the Back to the Future soundbite. You got to be caller number 9, and you have to get the secret password, Youngblood. And we'll give you a Golden Tooth ticket worth 100 smackaroos toward the drawing, which we'll have on June the 1st. Now, remember, you don't have to wait. You can get your Golden Truth ticket today at CrusadeChannel.com or tickets. The more tickets you buy, the better chance you have of winning the car. And remember that the Golden Truth ticket contest, the Golden Truth ticket sweepstakes, our second annual one, is also a fundraiser for the Crusade Channel. It's a big fundraiser. It's our big fundraiser of the year. And in exchange for you assisting us, financing us, investing in the Crusade Channel, King Size Truth from Radio Size Speakers, one of you gets to drive away a brand new 2018 Kia Soul from our friends and our title sponsors of the Bulldog Kia Studios from BulldogKia.com. We'll see you at Bulldog Kia for the best deals on a new or used Kia automobile in North America. I get all of my cars from Bulldog Kia, and I don't live within 8 hours of the dealership. I have them delivered to me. You can, too. Do your shopping and support those who support us. At least give them a call when you're in the market and let them know that hey, I heard your ad. Thanks for supporting the Crusade Channel. Maybe you have something on your lot that interests me. And maybe not. But at least they know that the Crusade faithful are out there and still loyal to our friends at Bulldog Kia. Give them a call today, 855 Bulldog, or go to their website at bulldogkia.com. We'll see you at Bulldog Kia, and you tell them Mike Church sent you. Now, what are you screaming at me about in there? We're trying to get mid as Schlussel. Yeah. we're trying to get mid as Schlussel on for this week's movie reviews. And again, Brian Kitchick, the Rosary Doctor and the author of Go to St. Joseph. Do you know that? Now, I said that today was going to be a Eddie and Breitbart breakfast place without the talentless Breitbart guys hosting the show free for all today. And it's going to be. So Dr. Brian Kitchick, the Rosary Doctor, is going to be with us in the next hour of the program. Just wanted to mention that his book, Go to St. Joseph, it's a little book. You can read it in an afternoon, but you might want to keep going back to it. 2 weeks ago, David Simpson came in here and was thumbing through it and said, I think I want to take this book, Mike. And I said, well, David, you know, you take whatever you want out of here. But he insisted on paying me. So I said, $10, whatever. So he took the book. 3 days later, he came back. I got to get a reorder. I need two more. Well, you know where they are. So he took two more. 3 days later, came back again. I'm taking three more this time. Yeah, I'm taking three more this time. I'm like, what are you doing with all these St. Joseph books? Well, apparently David was so enamored with the book, he gave a copy to his mother, who then became so enamored with the book that she wanted to give a copy to all of her children to go to St. Joseph. So, it must have something very powerful in it. So Doc Bryan sent us a new shipment. I believe it may show as sold out, but we have stock on the way. No, he sent them. Okay. Stock on the way of Go to St. Joseph. Again, a great little book. And Tuesday, May the 1st, was St. Joseph the Worker Day. Just thought I'd pass that on. 844-527-8723. Is our telephone number, 844-5-CRUSADE. By the way, the brand new Crusader Monastery prayer request list for the week is out. And if you're not getting the, if you're not part of the Crusader Monastery, it's easy to do. Just send an email to crusadermonastery@crusadechannel.com, and Midas Linscomb will put you on the list. And then, if you have a request, a special need, someone in the family, friend, death, sickness, job loss, you name it, send it on, and Mrs. Linscomb will put it in the list. The prayer request list gets lengthier every week. But there have been many successes and many prayer-induced little miracles. I say little miracles, not Vatican miracles. Little miracles have already occurred, including our very own, the foundress, if you will, of the Crusader Monastery, little baby Lillian. She went home yesterday, right? It started at 1 pound, 2 ounces as a very, very premature baby. But through the grace of God and with the help of many of your prayers, little baby Lillian went home yesterday. Isn't that awesome? And Paul put some pictures up in the chat room. Or actually, he emailed him. And Mrs. O'Connell put them up in the chat room. You could see baby Lillian yesterday, who still has a feeding tube attached. And he still has some issues. She was born at 1 pound, 2 ounces. But she has to have oxygen in the feeding tube. But she's going to grow to 20 pounds. And we're going to kick that God's going to kick that feeding tube out. Anyways. Back to the story about the education that at Mount St. Mary's and about whether or not children are digits or whether or not they're dignified humans. By the way, guess what tomorrow is? Well, in addition to being Cinco de Mayo, it's the Kentucky Derby. She's screaming, "Oh, better church, please! Who cares?" I like the Kentucky Derby. There's the good, the true, and the beautiful in the Kentucky Derby. You know, the women take great pride in their costumes and in those hats that you see all over the place. The men, the gentlemen, wear seersucker suits. Look, how could you not like it and be a listener to the Mike Church Show? They said the drink of choice is a mint freaking julep. Which, by the way, every year I invite friends over and we make mint juleps. Right at the church household. And yes, and we even use crushed ice. Boy, if I could get my hands on some Sonic ice for tomorrow, though. Maybe we ought to go to Sonic and go buy a bag of Sonic ice. 844-527-8723, our telephone number. Mount St. Mary's is by no means the only university to dehumanize its students. It has unfortunately become commonplace. I once sat in a meeting, writes Robert Stacey at theimaginativeconservative.com today. You can find the link to this story in the chat room at mikechurch.com that almost all of you, 99.8% of you, are not in right now, but you could be. And there you would see pictures of baby Lily. I once sat in a meeting where a senior administrator referred to the university students as data points. I laughed audibly, but the scornful look shot at me from around the table indicated he wasn't joking. Your kids, our kids, our numbers. Again, folks, they're no longer dignified humans. There are numbers in this paradigm. How long before they become Alfie Evans numbers? Historically, higher education was something quite different from what it is today. And then in colleges and universities did form communities. Communities whose members were not just commodities and data points, but dignified human beings who benefited richly from their experience together. And there is no reason why they can't continue to do that today. I know why Newman did what he did. This is the guy who's the Grand Poobah of St. Mary's. Given how government financial aid and grants to which universities are too often addicted are increasingly tied to the numbers he is trying to manipulate. But I would urge Mount St. Mary's and countless schools like it to remember that their first task is to educate students. You know, that sounds all fine and good and dandy. You know, your job is to edumacate tyrants. How do you do that? I think that his point is that even in Catholic colleges like Mount St. Mary's, they've all given in. Look, you were the one that your hair was on fire like Michael Jackson in a Pepsi commercial the other day. You were the one who was screaming and hollering during the commercial breaks. I can't believe those Catholic bishops wanted to subsidize the school lunches. This is the same thing that's going on here. His point is that education is not about educating anyone anymore. Hey, may I add or offer, the best education a young person will get is in reading the right things and in praying the right way. If you got G.K. Chesterton books in your house, your kids are reading the right things. If you have Joseph Pierce books in your house, your kids are reading the right things. If you have, I can go out and out and out. Look, if you have Butler's Lives of the Saints and Martyrs in your house, your kids are reading the right things. Look, here, I'm going to do a sidebar. You know why? Because it's my show and I can. Turn Mrs. Youngblood on. Who's the saint of the day today?
Saint Monica.
Who's my patron saint?
Saint Augustine.
Who is St. Monica's mother to?
St. Augustine.
Yes!
Can I add one thing?
Yes.
The goal of education should be to be teaching our children to think, and I think the last thing anybody wants going on is for the society to be thinking.
Yes, we must not think about anything.
That's right. Just keep them in the dark. Don't make us think about anything but ourselves, our little worlds, our entertainment.
How to goose step in the street at the military celebration parade. Not the important things. How to yell MAGA at a Trump rally. How to salute Kanye West because he got a MAGA hat. Oh, how to keep up with the Mueller's and the Comey's and, you know, the usual things. So none of this is thinking. This is emoting. Mm-hmm. All of that is emoting. I need to be angry. By the way, I want you to explain, while I got you here, I thought your musing yesterday was quite amusing, actually. Your musing was about Fox News. Now, I know your parents. Your parents don't sit around and watch Fox News all day long, do they?
My dad loves Fox News.
Oh, Ed, come on, Ed. Don't make me come over there. I know where he lives. I will go to Ed's. So you're like, so when I go to Mitta's church's parents' house, it's all day long. Mm-hmm. It's all day long. And after a while, you start going like, why do I feel so angry and miserable? Well, because you've been told all day long that your life revolves around what happens in Washington, D.C. and anything that's connected with it. And it didn't go your way today because there are mean people that are called liberals. It's like you said, it's a soap opera, but it's not. It's a nonfiction soap opera.
It is. They always want you left hanging. They're sitting there, you know, there's 30 minutes until the swearing in of Mike Pompeo. I mean, and it's like, what am I supposed to do? Be sitting there with my popcorn going, oh my gosh, I just can't wait for this. This is amazing.
Yeah, well, there's a countdown clock going there.
Yes.
Right?
The countdown. Yeah, they were doing that for the West Virginia Senate.
They'll start it 3 days in advance. They'll start these 2 days, 7 hours, and 7 hours, 14 minutes, and 9 seconds until Mike Pompeo is sworn in. Sworn on what? To do what? I always love the swearing in. What are you swearing to do? What are you swearing to do? But the point about the education and about thinking is, can you turn your beep off? That's you.
Yeah.
That's you popping in there. I think.
Yeah, that's chat. Sorry.
Yeah. So the point about the education and teaching children what to think and what I was talking about earlier about the saints and martyrs, and I brought up Saint Monica. We get a lot of lessons from the stories of the saints. As a matter of fact, children that are reading the lives of the saints are going to be better prepared for reality and for real life. And then for the reality of what it is to be a member of the church militant than children who aren't. Because if you read the life of St. Monica, you know that that woman spent, over two decades as a converted Catholic, trying first to... was Augustine... I'm trying to remember if Augustine was baptized as a boy.
I don't think so.
He was.
He wasn't. The father wouldn't allow him to be baptized.
Yeah, the father wouldn't allow him. And she worked on trying to convert the dad. So the guy got sick. They think he got liver cancer because he was an alcoholic. And ultimately, when he was about ready to die, he finally succumbed and allowed a Catholic priest to go in and baptize him and hear his confession and then make him get him right with our Lord and then give him the last rites. And then so the dad died in the, as they say, in the odor of sanctity. St. Augustine's dead, which did nothing for young Augustine because he was going, I'm gone. I got a career. So it took almost two decades after that that woman sat in daily prayer on her knees begging God to bring her baby boy to the faith. And she loved that boy so much that she followed him wherever he went. And he tried to get rid of her. You know this part of the story, right? He kept trying to lose her. She followed him to Carthage. Then and then he told her to stay in Carthage. And, you know, he was going down to the 7-Eleven to go get a Slurpee or whatever. And then he never came home. And she's like, Augustine went to get a Slurpee. Where'd he go? And then she found out that he hightailed it off to Rome. She's like, well, he's not getting rid of me that easily. So she followed him and then followed him to Rome. And she was in the audience when he was, not Julian's, who was he, I'm trying to think of what emperor he was the spokesman for. He was basically Sandra Huckabee, what's her name?
Sarah Huckabee Sanders.
Sarah Huckabee Sanders. He was basically Sarah Huckabee Sanders for the Roman emperor. And then all this is going on, and then St. Monica shows up again. Augustine, you didn't mean to leave me. So he's always trying to get rid of her. And then finally, he meets St. Ambrose. And then after he meets St. Ambrose, the Bishop of Rome at the time. I think it was the Bishop of Rome. And Ambrose tells him,
Milan,
you know what's going to happen to you? What's going to happen to me, priest, papist? You're going to convert, and you're going to become a priest, and then you're going to become a bishop. Of course, Augustine just laughed at him. Well, anyways, we know the rest of the story. The point is, if you read this magnificent little story, and by the way, we can get this movie. We should have it in the Founders Trading Post. Restless Heart from Ignatius Press does a really good job of telling that story. Ultimately, St. Augustine does convert. Of course, we know the rest of the story. But what you don't know is about the love of his mother, St. Monica. So when you said it was St. Monica's Day, and I saw it in my list of the saints of the day, of course, my heart always swells just knowing that St. Monica, we have Restless Heart. What, you know what? There's a copy in the Founders Trading Post right now. Go get it. It's the best movie, modern movie about St. Augustine. Always swells whenever I hear the name St. Monica. And I hope you never have to deal with this, but Midas Church and I had to deal with it. Children like St. Augustine, fallen away from the faith. Obstinately fallen away. I know Midas Linscombe has a couple. There are people in the Crusader Room. We have a little confraternity to pray. Our friends at our Mass Society are all experiencing this. So we always have St. Monica to turn to when you start to ready to give up. I ain't praying anymore. It's been too many years and you haven't done anything. Remember the great story of St. Monica. And you said St. Monica of Tagaste, because that's where Augustine was born. So that must have been the family hometown, right?
Mm-hmm, I think so.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Celeste. 844-527-8723 is our telephone number. 844-5-CRUSADE. I have an update. Your chances of winning the 2018 Kia Soul just went down. They're now 23-1. Thank you to Michael Forgette, our latest Golden Truth ticket owner. What are you waiting for? CrusadeChannel.com. There's a great little meme that I saw in the chat room just a moment ago. Hang on, let me scroll back up to it. It's Gene Wilder as Willy Wonka. Oh. So you like to celebrate Cinco de Mayo, do you? So tell me more about how much you like Mexicans in your country the other 364 days of the year. chat room where you could see that at MikeChurch.com. Now, I don't watch this TV show, The Handmaid's Tale. Are you telling me that I shouldn't? Oh, it's a bunch of tramps, masquer. So this is Nathaniel Hawthorne's The Scarlet Letter, kind of? Because the first thing I saw when I saw the trailer for it was, what is this, based on the Scarlet Letter? Anyways, Bray Payton at TheFederalist.com has five ways the left has already brought The Handmaid's Tale to life. Now, again, I don't have the benefit of having seen this show, so I don't know anything about it. Okay, so she's saying that this is after a nuclear holocaust. There's only a few women that are fertile, and they're slaves to what? They got to repopulate the species. Why would the government force them to repopulate? Ms. O'Connell, please, we have an overpopulation problem. The nuclear holocaust did everyone a favor, right? By the way, today is May the 4th. May the 4th be with you always. May the 4th be with you. The Handmaid's Tale, a TV show based on a Margaret Atwood novel of the same name, has returned to Hulu for a second season. The show has become something akin to a rallying cry for pro-abortionists and liberals everywhere who spend their weekends hashtag resisting. You know, the cult of death really is the cult of lust. And those that are in it treat lust and death like it is the four final things. Nothing else matters. It must reign supreme. If I have a statement to make about my sexuality or my sexual lifestyle, as they say, then I must be heard. The university's wheels of educating, even though they don't educate anymore, must come to a grinding halt. Everyone must pay attention to me, and must acknowledge my sexual proclivity, sexual perversion, sexual avoidance. Protesters, back to Bray Payton, protesters dressed in crimson robes and white hats abound along protest routes and state capitol buildings to express their ire against President Trump or to oppose bills that would regulate abortion. Can't have that now, can we? They say to regulate abortion or implement a travel ban that mirrors one the Obama administration set up is just like the cruel regime depicted in the TV show that strips citizens of all natural rights. No, that's the reality of what you guys are actually in the process of accomplishing right now. The White House Correspondents' Dinner says Saturday, host Michelle Wolf compared White House Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders to one of the show's most evil characters, Aunt Lydia, who literally beats women into submission. She also forces these women, dubbed handmaidens, to serve as sex slaves in order to carry and bear children for the elites. Wolf also encouraged Vice President Mike Pence, who media outlets frequently like to depict as a homophobic Bible thumper, to watch the show, saying, if you haven't seen it, you would love it. Moss and her co-stars have said they see the show as a rallying cry to resist the current administration and powers that threaten our democratic republic. Are these people drunk all the time? What part of the, quote, democratic republic, close quote, is it that you so desperately are willing to put your life on the line? Oh, I'm sorry, you're not putting your life on the line. Silly me, you're only putting your Twitter life, your hashtag on the line. You know how people used to swear on their kids' heads? I swear on my kids' heads. Now you swear about your enduring ability to use hashtags on Twitter. I swear on my enduring ability to use hashtags on Twitter. Right, because that's life. Tweeting. Samira Wiley, who plays Moira on the show, says, quote, I think it's scarily relevant right now. I think one of the things we can see, especially through the flashbacks, is how it doesn't happen all at once. And that's the thing that's so scary. Quote, you mean that's the thing that's so scary about seeing what you and your life-despising cronies are actually doing and making legal? Here on a Crusade channel.